Welcome to Elevating Employee Experience. I am your host, Josh Drain, joined here today by, I feel like we need a drum roll for this one. David Gazzarato is with us today. David is a digital HR strategist. He is a podcast host himself, so gear up for an amazing show. His podcast is called Humans of HR. It's an absolutely wonderful listen. It's been around for 5 years, and they have some amazing discussions there. He is very curious about the now of work. As you might notice, that buzzword is from LeapGen, where he is a managing director, the managing director for the Asia-Pacific sector.
Great to be here, Josh. Thanks for having me.
We are coming together at this time as two hosts of two different podcasts because we just had the HR Tech Conference last week. So jam-packed full of gems, and often we just kind of move on and forget some of those elements. So we're just here to talk specifically about Jason Averbuch's keynote and some of the learning outcomes that came from that so that we can kind of deepen our understanding. And that's why David is here as an expert to help us take it to the next level and turn these insights into action. But before we do that officially, anything else that we need to know about you, your background, what your passion is for this work?
Yeah, look, I mean, I've been someone, funnily enough, actually, I was saying to someone the other day, I fell into HR as I think a number of people, particularly my generation, did. And I kind of took opportunities as they came. And I ended up in a corporate HR role where I was the youngest person in the department. And this is kind of the mid-90s. And the boss at the time had seen me turn a PC on. So I was promptly given a new project to manage. It was a little manila folder that was shoved across the desk. It was a big mahogany desk that he had. This was the opulent corporate age that it was. And it said PeopleSoft implementation. And from that point on, my affinity and my love for the connection between people and technology, and certainly how technology supports, in the early days, the HR function, and through to today, where we're no longer deploying technology for the HR function, we're delivering it for our people.
Yeah, and you know, someone like me coming up, you know, a bit of the younger generation trying to figure out what it's supposed to look like, especially when we're in the middle of this ginormous transition. You know, we went from personnel management to human resources. And I think something that Jason mentioned in his keynote that has just been buzzing in my mind for days now is he said when he was at the conference, what he felt was we're not talking about the tech. We're not talking about the policies or the procedures. What we're talking about is the people. And he feels like this is the first time we've moved from HR tech to people tech. So can you tell us a little bit about that transition that's happening right now and what can we expect as we continue to adapt to these changing times?
Yeah, and I'm glad you picked up on that because I think that's a really key thing. And one of the, you know, Jason and I, we do go way back. We both worked at PeopleSoft together back 20 years ago. So he and I, we sometimes feel like we share the same brain, but often, more often than that, we're quite complementary. We bounce off each other very well. But that, certainly on the point of that evolution from HR tech, which I would define as technology to support the HR function, basically it's an automation. A lot of it was automation tools, taking us off paper-based forms and being able to manage transactions more effectively and more efficiently, largely to take the weight off the HR function, right? To what you've just described as people tech. And I like that term, but I think we're also, we would take that one step further to reframe it as digital HR, right? So it's, and in the term digital is something that Jason, I think, does a great job at really explaining the difference between digital and technology, right? So I've just given a bit of a flavor of what we see as HR technology. It's literally the tools that are used to enable processes to be run more efficiently, for data to be gathered and for the transactional piece. There's a lot of worth in the technology itself, and we don't downplay that. But in the digital age, you know, it's not about the tech. It's actually about designing ways of work and really connecting people better with their work and in the moments that matter. Through, you know, those making those connections through digital. So I think that's a good definition to make and a great starting point for our conversation, Josh. You know, this is a generational thing, and we've dispensed with that whole notion of the generations, right? Because that was maybe 4 or 5 years ago we were talking about, you know,
the lazy millennials.
Yeah, and all that rubbish, right? You know, my kids still refer to me as a boomer in a disparaging way, even though I'm not a boomer by any stretch. But for someone like you who comes, it's hard for you to have a frame of reference around days when we didn't use technology as the default, right? It's been, I'm sure it's been whether it's been in your working career or in your education or in your general life. And you're someone who's a great user of the technology in all contexts, as I've witnessed. So it is hard to say to you, well, digital needs to be defined because you probably personally wouldn't need to find that frame of reference.
I it's interesting, right? Because when you start talking about digital, specifically when we're, you know, like looking at HR in the past and how we're, you know, making this digital transformation, which is why LeapGen exists. It's to help organizations transform their HR to digital. Whereas, you know, I just graduated. I was building a startup out of the Harvard Innovation Labs. And, you know, I'm working alongside the future of work. These are young and ambitious students who are working to become the next unicorn, the next Mark Zuckerberg. And it's really interesting, I having a fascination with employee experience and human capital, you know, experience management. I talk to these young students and I say, how do you plan on scaling your culture? And they're like, what does that even mean? Or what are you doing to make sure that your employees are having a good experience? I mean, these are, they're startups bringing on 10 employees, 20 employees, like young companies, but that nevertheless, they are starting to see this. And what's interesting is with no experience in HR and no presuppositions of what it should look like and what it should feel like, it is fascinating to see the answers come. You know, a lot of them are like, well, we just built a Slack bot so that we could check in once a day with our people and see how they're doing. And that alone is rewriting these yearly surveys or these quarterly surveys. Like we're changing the way that we interpret employee experience. We track that data. And so it's just been a fascinating journey. And I'm sure you have much to say around that and collecting data, but the idea that we're coming together and we're intergenerationally and, you know, we're breaking down all of these walls and barriers so that we can create a more human workplace.
100%. I love it. And I think that what you described there, you know, is certainly a vision that I would paint for the future. The future of HR. The future of HR is no HR department, right? Put that quote out there. See how many people unfollow us in the HR world with that one, Josh.
I love it. Millions of jobs lost.
Jason talks about it slightly differently, right? He says we need to be developing technology not for HR people, but for the empty chair. I think he makes a really eloquent point around that. Now, you've just given an example of how you design for the empty chair, right? So what's the empty chair that you were looking at from, you know, with the startups and the and that? It's like, well, what do we need to support people on their journey? What does it look like from their seat? And how do we design something that's going to be fit for purpose and something that they will be desiring to engage with, right? That's that notion. And HR people shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be trying to design it for themselves or a process or an outcome, you know, first and then pushing it out. That was what we were doing, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Some organizations perhaps are still in that mode, but that whole notion of, you know, really putting yourself in the shoes of the person who's going to benefit from the technology. You know, we don't call them end users anymore either, because the term user, I think, has a lot of negative connotations, particularly in places like Colorado. I'm trying to appeal to American audiences. We're dumb. Thank you. Probably more of a dad joke than a cool reference. But anyway, see where I'm going? And I really like the way that Jason, you know, talked to that last week. And I think that message really resonates as well.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you dove into that, because full transparency, I haven't wrapped my mind fully around what the empty chair actually means. Like, he said that a couple times, and I was like, what is the empty chair? And it just clicked right here. Yeah. And now I was like, oh, like, what do we need? And how do we build from scratch? And when you talk about that user interface, right, ringing in my ears is Jason saying, experience is not a user interface. That's huge. The concept that, like, we're still kind of trying to view it that way. Like, well, how does it feel when you click on that button? And what does this feel? And we're very IT focused on it, when you got to have the IT and the human elements come together and say, what is the experience that you're having here? And how are you feeling? How often in HR do we talk about feeling? How often can we actually translate that into action when we're talking to the C-suite? Like, hey, caring and kindness matter. It's going to drive the bottom line. Like, how often are we going to get laughed off stage because of wanting to build that experience?
Yeah, exactly. And you've certainly been working quite hard in that employee experience space yourself. So I'm sure this frame, your views are being framed, you know, through, as they need to be, through what is the impact that we're creating, and the word that you described there is something that, you know, certainly I feel very strongly about, and I know Jason communicates this really well. And we often use that Maya Angelou quote about people won't remember what you hear, what they hear, they see, but they will always remember how they felt, right? And that's the essence of it. And if we keep that front and center, we're going to be going about it the right way. So it actually doesn't matter how many keystrokes people have to take to perform a transaction. Funnily enough, I had a conversation with a vendor yesterday, and I thought this was really cool of them to be saying it out loud, as the ambition of their product team is to have any interaction with the system be able to be completed within 10 seconds, right? So whatever you're going in to do, you should be able to get in, get it done, and get out in 10 seconds from a end user perspective. Now, I think, you know, that's a really, that's a very sound ideology, but it's very technology focused. It's like, to me, that's a UX frame of reference from a technology standpoint. And what we need to be able to do is to be seeing beyond just, you know, how do we make the transaction work in the technology? You know, how do we get the person to be able to do the things around it, have the work designed so that when they get into the system for that 10 second transaction, you know, it's a product of a range of things that they've needed to, a range of experiences that all make up for that. And that's influenced not just by the technology, but it's actually how you structure the work itself, how you manage people. You know, the other thing that Jason talks a lot about is the difference between checking in on people or checking up on them. And a lot of the technology that we've deployed, particularly in HR, because HR has always been unfortunately tarnished, but also they've had to, from a compliance and risk perspective, had to be the company police officer a lot of times. So a lot of what we've built around process and around the technology supporting that over the years has made the employee feel like we're just there checking up on them, right? Mm-hmm. And what this year and this whole thrust and importance around humanity that the pandemic and everything associated with that, the social issues that have played out, particularly in the US this year, we've got to move beyond checking up. We've got to stop checking up, and we've got to be using the tools to help us check in, you know, and create that connection with our people so that they are left with a feeling rather than a sense of, you know, I've just had to do this, perform this transaction so that the company can tick a box on compliance, right? That's not
a feeling. Yes. I mean, I'm a slow clap, David, like I'm so on board. And what you're suggesting here is a radical transformation. I mean, it's crazy to think of how basic this is, but you really are rewriting the rules of HR. You really are moving to a digital transformation that remains human, man. When we talk digital transformation, it sounds like a robot. We are moving to, I am having an AI bot check your emails to see if you're happy. And if you're not happy, then, you know, extrinsic motivator, stick or carrot, you know, input, output. And that is the exact opposite of what a digital transformation is. A digital transformation leverages tech to make work more human. And when you land on that, people want to work for you. They stay longer. Exactly. They do better work, right? Like the benefits go on and on and on. It's just, how do we transition? That's what we're stuck on here. So coach us, David, how do we transition to this?
Well, for starters, we've got to stop leading with the technology, right? So when we talk about the, you know, the equation for digital success, it's made up of four components, one of which is technology, right? We talk about mindset and vision being the most important. So we need to be able to get ourselves and our organizations thinking differently about how we're going to use the technology, about how we're going to re-envision and reimagine how we're providing, you know, support our services and the experience to our employees. So it starts with the mindset and the vision, and then we center that around who is it that we are going to be affecting, who is it that we're motivating, the people, right, the audiences. And when we get vision connected to the audience, we're then in a position to frame the journeys we want those people to be able to undertake. And that's a combination of technology, supported by technology, but there's a whole range of activities and some of those, you know, we've digitized, if you like, but many of them are still how we work. And if we're not rethinking process to better enable, you know, people to feel what you just described, you know, and ultimately that connection, that connectedness, and that is, you know, we can use technology really powerfully in HR to do that. So that fourth pillar around our equation is absolutely technology. But if we start from that point, right, if we start from the point of technology, we are going to be using that as the frame of reference. So we basically take what might come out of the box in a HR, you know, HCM solution or in a workforce management solution, whatever we're deploying, and then we're using that as the to drive process and potentially roles in those processes, and then we superimpose those upon our people, and then we teach them how to use them, and we expect that to ultimately make them feel engaged and worthy and, you know, wanting to adopt that solution. And it's no surprise that when we tackle it from the technology first perspective, that the number of failed deployments in HR is embarrassing. It continues to be around the 80% mark, right? So 20% of transformation programs are actually resulting in successful outcomes. That is a waste, right? So what we find, and certainly how we coach our clients, is we need to be rethinking. So if we're thinking transformation, right, it's got to come from starting at the point of mindset and working, you know, from that empty chair, designing the journeys and the processes accordingly, and then making great decisions about the technology that we use to support that.
And I will say that an aha moment for me during the conference was seeing the graphic of your process, right? Like there are major percentages towards the process, the journey, the mindset, and then not only is tech implementation only 10%, it's the last 10%. It's like the last thing that you are concerned with. You know, when you start thinking about like HR tech consulting, it's you have amassed thousands of different types of HR tech that's out there and you've picked the very best ones and now you're ready to just drop the perfect tech in my lap and then I don't have to do anything. When what you're really suggesting is like, hey, this is a journey. It's harder than you think, but it is so worth it. And I'm sure that you're seeing those results with your clients.
Absolutely. And it's getting that outcome that you described of not just adoption. So we always work towards trying to get technology adopted by users. And when there's a lot of change management that has gone into that over the years, and quite often it hasn't landed because it comes down to the design itself was never for that empty chair, right? Mm. And so we're asking people to shift how they want to work, right, to align with the technology that we're deploying for them, or we're asking them to use stuff that we put in 15 years ago. That's even worse in today's paradigm. You know, so it's 20, Jason says this quite nicely too, right? It's 2020 outside the organization. What year is it inside? What are you asking, you know, Josh Dreen, who wasn't using corporate technology in 1994, right? You're asking you to backward engineer your entire frame of reference to be able to use a system that was deployed there because we think it's the right tool for our organization, right? That's obviously a bit of an exaggeration there, but that's the point, right? That
or
we
not.
Need to be building for the empty chair, and in doing so, we're not just getting adoption, we're getting addiction. We're getting people who actually want to go in and use the technology because it is of worth to them, it is relevant to them, and it enables them to get the experience that they need at that point in time. Which is, it's often very hard in the HR world, right? Because there's a lot of point in time activities that we do, right? You know, how many times do we change our address, right? You know, how often do we have a baby? I love it when Jason's used that frame of that analogy too with audiences. It kind of, they all go, oh, okay. Because the three most common transactions in HR are change of address, right? And, you know, change of names and change of, and you know, events like having a baby. Right. So
yeah,
we're asking people to be trained up in these systems when actually these things are going to happen so rarely. So it's got to be something that when they get to it, it's intuitive. It's something that they feel like they can easily get in and do what they need to and get supported.
Yeah. It's this, you know, this concept that Jason brought up about putting frosting on a moldy cake. You can bring technology in, but man, there's so much underneath that needs to be changed. And something that I'm just so passionate about that I will continue to preach until I die is consumer grade employee experience. And this is not a term that I coined. This is Jay Palaki. She's on the Forbes Human Resources Council. And we're working on an article together right now, all around this idea that the consumer experience, we are so fanatical about it in today's society, and the efficiency of a one-click purchase online is the experience that we need for our consumers to stay. Like the competitive landscape is so much that you have to be that way. And we're starting to catch up, but I feel like the revolution coming is consumer grade employee experience, where we have to be that fanatical about designing a better experience for our employees, they'll go to a company that is doing that. You know, it no longer is it the age of I'm the boss and you're just lucky to have a job and I set the rules and you have to follow those rules. Yeah. Well, now employees are empowered, and we're seeing that across the board with Glassdoor and reviews coming out on how terrible that work environment is. No one's going to come and work for this company. And now you can't attract top talent because your talent did not have a good experience there. And so I feel like we're either going to learn that lesson the hard way, or we're going to hire Leap Gen to come in and make it happen.
To help make it happen. Absolutely. You know, and that's a really important frame there too. You know, when you think about To be honest, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm not 100% sold that people are making decisions about who to work for based, you know, almost entirely on the HR technology that they are dishing up. However, I do think that that is one of the most overtly representative things that they are able to see and feel in relation to, you know, what it's going to be like to work here, right? So particularly if you think about what our first experiences typically are of companies we're going to work for, it's going to be through the recruitment piece. So how we're engaged through that, you know, the candidate experience we have and how we're treated is a really it's a window into the culture of the organization first and foremost, and that is certainly something that we make decisions about whether we want to come and work somewhere or not. And so, you know, if you think about it, again, putting the technology to one side and saying, what is the experience we're trying to deliver? The technology being part of that, an important part of it, because, you know, if we can't make things more efficient, if we can't provide, accessibility is an important thing as well. You know, being able to use the technology to be more responsive. Those are all great things, and they create a great impression and a great experience, right? So, you know, that's an example of, you know, I don't think it's technology itself, but I think it's the feeling that's created based on how we are, you know, driving an experience based on that technology. And actually, can I pick up on one more thing on that consumerized piece? Because please, I think this is really interesting. And HR definitely needs to take a look from what's happened in the consumer world. And, you know, and that is, you know, if I want to go in and purchase something very quickly, that's often because, you know, I have been, I've been surfing things on YouTube, and it starts to build a view of my preferences. And then I get presented with things that are more relevant to me over time. And to a point where the moment I'm looking to buy something is juxtaposed in that instance with the opportunity to do so and a very, you know, one button to transact, right? That is, you know, that's, I guess, almost the ideal experience. It's that convergence of the technology and the data being able to help, you know, me at the point of need, right? Mm. Now, you don't do that by deploying modules of software, right? So Amazon, you know, it's not about modules of software. In fact, there's something like 190 modules that go into that transaction. That one-click transaction, there's 190 modules underneath. Mm. But what they have provided you is a journey. They've deployed a journey for the customer, not a bunch of modules. And that's a point that Jason made really well in the keynote. And I think it's an important one for HR people, because a lot of vendors sell in modules too, right? A lot of our vendors package their solutions up quite naturally and quite rightly, you know, into a performance management module, a recruitment module, a learning module. Increasingly, we're getting, you know, other well-being and pulse surveying and all sorts of things in modules, but we shouldn't be deploying those as modules. Mm. We need to be leveraging that tech to drive and underpin the journeys that we're supporting.
I mean, yes, I agree 100%. As Jason said, processes generate data, but journeys create feelings. That is such a beautiful way to wrap things up. David, thank you so much for joining us. You know, you have 25 years of experience here. I feel like I've been sitting at the feet of a guru, sharing your knowledge. Is there a last minute piece of advice that you could give our listeners as we close things up?
I think the best piece of advice right now is be positive, optimistic, create the world that you want to live in, and be the change that you want to see happen. Because I think everyone right now, going into 2021, we can't rely on the institutions around us as much as perhaps we did 30 years ago. to support us through that. So I know that's quite a, perhaps a bit idealistic out there, but I have great faith in the humans, not just the humans of HR, Josh, but humans in general. And I think each and every one of us has the ability to shape the world that we want. And that would be my hope and aim for anyone who's listening to this today.
Couldn't have asked for a better message. I truly feel like I just climbed all this way up this message, up this mountain to hear such a simple and deep message. It's wonderful to end with that. So Zen,
man, felt like I went from guru to preacher then.
There you go. We're getting it all. We got consultant and coach, guru. Now we're preaching, man. Take me to the waters here. Well, listeners, if you want to connect with David, definitely check out his LinkedIn. Definitely reach out. Yep. He is a very accessible individual who is extremely passionate about this. David, thank you so much for being on the show. We look forward to continuing the conversation.
Pleasure, Josh. Looking forward to the next time, mate.